Welcome to Season 5, Episode 9 of Angela Watson's Truth for Teachers. I'm your host, Angela Watson, and I'm here to speak life, encouragement, and truth into the minds and hearts of educators and get you energized for the week ahead. Today, I'm going to be doing a coaching call with a teacher named Taylor and exploring which aspects of teaching you can eliminate to free up more time. Visit truthforteachers.com to get the transcript, links to recommended resources, and to share your thoughts on the show. This podcast episode is sponsored by theteachertoolkit.com, a free website with over 60 teaching tools designed to help make your instruction engaging and meaningful. For each strategy, you'll find step-by-step instructions, editable templates, and even video footage from real classrooms to show you the strategy in action. To check out these free tools and the growing collection of affordable online courses, visit theteachertoolkit.com. So what you're about to hear is a new format that I'm using for the podcast now every couple of episodes, which is a coaching call. This is basically instructional coaching and life coaching kind of blended all together, where I'm answering teachers' specific questions about productivity and balance and managing it all. And today I'm going to let you listen in on a coaching call that I did with a 9th and 10th grade ELA teacher who's named Taylor. Now, like all the teachers that I'm conducting these free coaching calls with, Taylor completed a year in the 40-hour Teacher Workweek Club, and she's made some really strong progress in work-life balance. Before joining the club, she was working around 80 hours a week, and now she's working around 55 to 60 hours a week. So she's got a net savings there of 20 to 25 hours a week. She's obviously doing a lot of things right when it comes to focusing on what's most important and letting go of the rest. However, Taylor is now committed to being a class advisor, and that's causing her to work a lot of additional hours. As we talk, it becomes clear that she's going to have to eliminate some things from her schedule, but she's getting stuck on figuring out what she can realistically say no to when it comes to grading. That's the thing that's taking up the majority of her time. And she's having a hard time saying no to students when they ask her to do things for them. So Taylor's given me permission to record our conversation and share part of it here with you. So if you're struggling to say no or to eliminate obligations from your schedule or to cut back on your grading, hopefully you can learn from what we discussed. Here's Taylor with her first question.
So due to my schedule, I've had to kind of pick bits and pieces of the content so far that have applied when I needed it. And so the list making system in particular has worked wonders for me. In spite of that, though, I'm still getting from my coworkers, like, I'm the last one to leave every day and I take way too much on and I'm always working. So between my friends and my coworkers and my family, they always seem to get put second. And they're right, because I'm doing so much all the time, taking on way more than I probably should. But I look at it as now I'm pulling in 55 to 60 hours where before I was working 80 hours. So what advice do you have to help me continue managing better, taking the list system to the next level?
So, I mean, first of all, you're doing fantastic. If you used to work 80 hours and now you're working like 55, 60, I mean, taking 20 hours off your work week is pretty amazing.
It certainly feels that way.
So that's major progress. I don't feel like I could say anything else before just acknowledging like how proud I am of you for doing that work, because I know that it's required a lot of dedication, a lot of intentionality, and probably a lot of self-discipline too, and trying to figure out like what your priorities are.
Oh yes. Using what the main idea is and breaking things down of what needs to be graded now and what doesn't actually need to be graded at all has been so helpful.
Yeah, you've made great progress there. So, I mean, getting down to 60 hours is good, but I understand that, you know, if you're hearing from other people that you are taking on too much, then believe them. Because people don't say this unless it's true. They don't say that unless they notice that's a real pattern in your life and they're seeing you suffer because of it. So I'm glad to hear that you're taking that seriously and you're realizing, okay, I'm doing better, I'm improving, but I need to keep whittling things down. And it's probably going to be time to eliminate things, because I think it's really likely that you've been spending time trying to come up with systems to work more efficiently on tasks that really shouldn't be done at all. And if you feel like you're working all day long, but you aren't making progress or you aren't getting ahead, then you might be doing things right, but not doing the right things. And that's a really tricky thing, because I know, you know, a lot of times it feels like everything is important, right? I can't cut anything out. And we went really in depth with that in the April club material. So it might be worth reviewing that, particularly with week two. But let's see if we can figure out some things together. I want you to really listen to your gut feelings on this, and don't let your brain start trying to make excuses or try to talk yourself out of it. But just tell me what comes to mind immediately that you think you might be able to eliminate. Even if you don't yet know how you would do it, what does your gut instinct tells you needs to be eliminated?
I need to grade smarter. And I've read through the materials, and I've used the different commenting, because like as an English teacher, I'm teaching 9th and 10th grade, and I get 5-page papers in mass, and I have about 57 students. So it just, I don't know where to start. And then I'm spending 15, 20 minutes on each paper, which is ridiculous.
Okay. So the main thing, the first thing that comes to mind really is thinking about, you've got to eliminate some of this grading.
Yes.
Has to be done. So how many essays are you grading?
For, I teach two different courses right now. I'm teaching a 9th grade mid-level and 2 honors 10th. So if I split grading, meaning like how I, since they're using the club materials, I don't have everyone turning in the same things on the same day to spare myself. But like right now, for example, my honors have a newspaper project they turned in last week that I haven't even looked at, which is supposed to be worth like 100 points. And now my 9th graders are turning in their essays. So now I have 57 various projects all on top of each other.
So two, are we talking about like 2 projects a week or 2 assignments like that a week?
Usually 1 major assignment every 3rd week, but like with little assignments like discussion questions, and we blog in my classroom, blogging's every 3rd week. Discussion questions, I usually have like 3 times a week. It's a mess.
So in an ideal world, you would be assessing all of that. You would be reading it word for word. You'd be giving students individualized, personalized feedback to help them improve. You'd be having like individual conferences with them to talk about how to improve their writing. But this is not that's not realistic, right? We know
I
that.
Wish,
it,
yeah.
Yeah. If you do that, then you are going to burn out. It's not sustainable. So when we think about what's sustainable, what's going to work for the kids and what's going to work for you, are there any of those assignments that you think you could not grade the way that you've been grading them?
They're discussion questions.
Okay. So are you actually reading through those and assigning grades to discussion questions?
Not everyone. Like before, it used to be every single time, and it was ridiculously overwhelming. Now, if I assign 3 in a week, I might grade 1 or maybe 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I do read through each question because, like, especially with my honors kids, because I'm trying to get them to be thorough when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know I'm too nitpicky. I'm way too nitpicky, and that's my type A perfectionist personality coming through.
Are you correcting errors when you read these discussion questions?
I have like a code where usually if it's like partial credit, I have like, I assign different letters for different things, but I won't rewrite anything. I won't write comments out because I'll discuss it as a class.
Okay. So that's good. You're doing a lot of great stuff here. Like you've figured out some really helpful ways to streamline, looking for more ways to streamline. So if you're doing 3 discussion questions a week, you're saying you're grading 1 or maybe 2. Is there another way? If you don't read that, will you still have an understanding of your students' progress? Is it really critical for you understanding where your students are at to read every single one of those?
No. Painful to say. Because I want to so badly, but
yes.
No, you're right. I don't need to assess them correctly because I have various other ways. The blogs are wonderful. The actual assessments I have are very thorough.
Okay. So that's important then, because we don't want to cut out something that is going to make you feel disconnected from your kids, where you're like, I don't know what they're capable of. I don't feel on top of it. Because when you don't feel on top of it, especially as a type A person, then things are really going to unravel and you're going to end up going back to those old habits. So you have to really be in a place where you are convinced yourself that, like, I don't have to read those. I would like to, but there's a whole lot of things that I would like to do as a teacher that I just can't do.
It's so hard.
It is. It's really hard. Like, I make it sound easy, but I realize that the internal struggle is hard because you're wanting to do this because you care about your kids. Like, if you didn't care about your kids, it would be very easy to just be like, whatever, you know, put a check mark on it and keep going. It's hard because you want to know where they're at and you want to help them develop and make progress. But when we look at this from a realistic standpoint, we know that, you know, how much are their skills really improving because you're reading every single response?
In the grand scheme of things, not what I need to be focusing on. Not their skills probably benefit from the practice, but not from the comments.
Right, exactly. So we don't want to cut out the practice. It's still good to have them write it, but can we assess it in another way? Can we have them self-assess? Can we peer assess? What are your thoughts about, do they need some level of accountability there?
They do. Mm-hmm. It's that careful balance. Like today, for example, instead of grading it, because I knew I couldn't add another 50 things onto my to-do list, I broke them into groups. Each group had to discuss four of the discussion questions, and then they presented them to the class. And I counted that as, like, I was able to hear what they were able to do, and they kind of bounced ideas off of each other.
All right. So, yeah, I like the way that you're doing this. Have the students share the discussion questions together, move that off your grading list altogether. Because if you have enough grades, you feel like you still have a good handle on your students' progress, then that's something you can take off your plate.
Sounds like a plan.
Anything else you can think of, like right offhand, that you feel like could be eliminated?
I just feel like I need to manage time better when it comes to how I'm doing things after school. And how I'm managing makeups, because I had a great system last semester, but I think it was just because I had students that weren't as invested in their grades. So I wasn't constantly having to check. Whereas now I have micromanagers and they're very busy. So one kid can make it up on a Thursday and the next kid can make it up on Wednesday. And there's always at least three out of class at any given day. So managing that, I need to somehow figure out a way so I can cut out a lot of the in-class disruptions with it.
So it's not the grading of it, because you're grading it all at once, right? You're not grading it as they turn in. It's the collection of it.
Yes.
And are you reminding them that they need to turn in? Like, how is this using class time?
They are supposed to be accountable. I do remind once I'm almost at the end of my window of opportunity. I'll be like, hey, you haven't done this. It's going to be a zero by Friday. Schedule a time after school, like it's sometime after school, and email me when you're going to be here so I know. But it just feels like keeping track of all of it is a challenge.
Okay, so it's more like it's just sort of like one more thing in the back of your brain that you feel like you have to be remembering who's still missing what and needs to turn in what.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, so right. So then the system that we'll need then is a good makeup work system that the kids are in charge of. Do you have a list either digitally or printed out where the kids can mark off things as they're turned in?
Not yet. I haven't been able to yet. That's probably something I should do.
Would it help?
Probably. And again, I worry about accountability of, I have on the side of the room, I have a missed work. Plus I have a while you were out document. Mm-hmm. So they have access to it on their own. It's just not a checklist for then me to see.
Got it. Okay. So that's good. So you've placed the responsibility in their hands. That's wonderful. And they can tell what they're missing. So what I'm picturing now is some sort of system where you have the whole class's name like in a list, either digitally or somehow displayed on a clipboard in class somewhere. So when they turn it in, they check off their name and then you can see at a glance who's still missing. Something like that.
That sounds like it could work.
Because then it would be much easier for you to see at a glance. Like what I used to do, I had it on a wipe off board that was displayed. And so I would have the students' numbers up there. They're, you know, the kids are numbered, like every child has a number. And so they would just be numbered 1 to 30. And as they came up and turned it in, they would show it to me, put it in the box, and then go erase the number from the wipe-off board with their finger. So you could just look up there and see, okay, number 7, number 12, number 15, I still need this from you. It's due today.
Okay, I can definitely see it because I have a turn-in bin and a handout bin that they check when they first come into class. I could probably put a clipboard in between the two bins.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all right in front of them. They grab everything as part of their routine.
Mm-hmm.
That would work. Yes.
Okay, good. I mean, it takes time to come up with these kinds of systems. I know that it does. And when you're just sort of keeping your head above water, it's hard to take that step back and take time to figure it out, implement it, teach it to the kids. Like, it does take an investment of time up front. I realize that. But I think after you do this, it will sort of clear more headspace for you. And I think you can kind of experiment with it too, because what we just discussed, that may not be what the final version ends up looking like. That's just sort of a brainstorming. But I think if you have some sort of display like that, where you and the kids can tell, I think that will help a lot with accountability.
Definitely. And just even adding that paper then on top of the pile of things to grade, then it's all in one place, and organizationally that helps.
Yeah, exactly. And they're still responsible for it. Like, this should not be extra work for you. They are still completely in charge of this system. They're just actually sort of adding this extra piece in that makes it easier for you to track.
That makes sense.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So we're helping with not grading. We're eliminating the grading, the discussion questions, and we're eliminating some of this mental tracking that you're having to do with the makeup work. So it's getting late now. I didn't even realize. I had a feeling this would turn into a more in-depth discussion. Let me wrap up by finding out, like, what your sort of takeaway truth is. What's the principle that stood out to you the most in our conversation that you want to try to take action on right away?
Learning when to say no and what things I can cut out of my already very busy life for the best interest of myself and the students, like deciding what works for us instead of what makes like every single person in the world happy.
Yes, that's good. Exactly. Looking at the whole, not just looking at this one person, because you are going to have to disappoint individual people. But when you look at the whole, especially when you look at long-term, your long-term career as a teacher and your long-term ability to impact kids, saying no is going to be really, really important. So I'm super proud of the things that you've already set your boundaries around already. I think you're doing awesome and things are just going to keep getting better for you.
Oh, yes. I don't know where I would have been without this club. It's been absolutely amazing. Like when I was, but like my first observation in this contracted spot, like he flat out said he hasn't even seen veteran teachers be able to do what I did in a class period. So something's working.
Yep.
Even when in my head, I don't feel it, but apparently on the outside looking in, it does look like it works and everything is organized. And I don't know if I would have that without the club, because January last year, I was at my wit's end and very, very sleep deprived. So it was my lifeline.
So that's my coaching call with Taylor. I hope that it's been helpful to you in figuring out what you can eliminate and what you can say no to. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic week. You can do this. And remember, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be worth it. Truth for Teachers is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more great podcast recommendations, go to edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com.